It is a pleasure to be with you all here on this Pentecost Sunday. And on this day in particular, it is important for us to attend to a small little part of our liturgy. That is the prayer for illumination. For we Presbyterians acknowledge and remember and realize that we can read the Bible until we are blue in the face, but we will not hear the Word of God unless the Spirit inspires it and us. So let us pray that the Holy Spirit, who is present with those first disciples, will also, as promised, be present with us today. Let us pray. Gracious God, by the power of your Spirit, open our ears so that in these words of Scripture we may hear your word. Open our hearts so that we may not only hear, but be changed. And open our lives so that through us, the Spirit may bear witness to the gospel of your Son, our Lord, the very Word of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John. It is near the end of the Gospel, just before Jesus is about to be arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified. And here are his words to his disciples at that time. Listen. In these words of the Gospel of John, for God's word to us today. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning is the traditional story of Pentecost, as it is recorded in the book of Acts. Listen to this old story with new ears, so that the Spirit may communicate to us the truth of the gospel through it. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This, too, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love words. They are the way I make my living. As a college professor and a Presbyterian pastor, I am deeply committed to finding the right words for any and every occasion, especially worship. I spend an inordinate amount of time in front of my computer or with a yellow legal pad and a Pilot G2 pen, the smoothest writing pen in the business, wrestling with words. It is hard, painful, frustrating work. but I consider it time well spent when the words finally come together. Words, after all, are powerful. They create. They reveal. They communicate. Which is to say, they facilitate communion, community between speaker and audience and reality. I am convinced that the old adage is true. The pen is mightier than the sword. Words can bend the will, influence the mind, and touch the heart more dramatically and definitively than any weapon. Or at least, this is the conviction that has been a driving force in my life. The right words can change minds and hearts and lives and communities. The right words, therefore, can change the world. Christianity has always placed its faith in the God who speaks, who creates and redeems and is revealed through the Word. The Gospel of John does not begin with the birth of a Savior, but with a hymn to the Word of God. It points back to Genesis, when God created the world by speaking it into existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. It was this creative Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The Word of God came into a world that had turned from the truth to embrace a lie, that had turned from love to embrace hate, that had turned from words to embrace violence. Now, the Word came to restore, to redeem, to remember the whole world, put it back together. Yet sadly, as the Gospel of John states, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. Words alone, it seems, are not powerful enough to change the world. Even the Word of God is not sufficient to redeem a universe slipping towards oblivion or a human heart descending into falsehood and violence. Something more is required to inspire, to in spirit, to reveal the truth, to elicit genuine communion, communication, community. Words, after all, can be misunderstood and misused. Even the Word of God. How often we see the Scripture being used to divide and to harm rather than to reconcile and renew. How often The name of Jesus, the very word of God, is used to justify violence and hatred rather than promote love and peace. Whether it is due to tragic misunderstanding or malicious misuse, words, even the word of God, can be distorted to the point of being unrecognizable. Today, this is evident in the white Christian nationalism that places the Bible and Jesus Christ in service of racism and xenophobia, homophobia, violence, and tyranny throughout our land. Not only can words be misunderstood and misused, they can also lose their meaning and therefore their power. Once living, powerful words can become dry, empty husks. All the meaning and significance can be squeezed out of them over time through mere tedious repetition. For example, the significance of the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer are often unintentionally undermined by empty recitation. This can happen to all words, I think. Even the word of God, I suppose, a word that was once powerful, meaningful, inspiring, loses its ability to communicate the truth through misuse or thoughtlessness. And I suppose something like that is happening today as young people abandon the churches in droves, searching for something more meaningful, more inspiring, more revelatory. They are searching for genuine communication, real communion, and they aren't finding it in the churches. All of this is hard for us, the loyal remnant, to accept, especially us Presbyterians. We have always prided ourselves on being literate, articulate, studious. We believe in the power of words. We imagine that if we work and worry over them enough, we will find the right ones, the true ones, the powerful ones. But on Pentecost Sunday, it is worth remembering that it is not the word that gave birth to the church, but the Spirit. The story from the Gospel of John that we read this morning immediately precedes Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. It embodies Jesus' final words to his disciples as he prepares to depart from them, and it amounts to an admission that the Word of God alone is insufficient, no matter how powerful, truthful, or even divine it may be. Jesus tells his followers that he is about to leave them and acknowledges that they will be sad to see him go. But he also tells them that it is important that he departs so that the Spirit can come. Only the Spirit can complete the message and the mission of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Apart from the Spirit, communion, true communication with God and one another
is impossible. So, Jesus, the very Word of God, says to his followers, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Both are required. The Word and the Spirit, only together do they communicate the truth and redeem the world. Until the day of Pentecost, the disciples had not fundamentally changed. They had seen Jesus' miracles, and they had listened to his teachings, and they had watched him being crucified. They had even experienced his resurrection, but they remained fearful, confused, divided, and doubtful. It was only when the Spirit descended on them like rushing wind and a burning flame that their minds, their hearts, their very lives were transformed. Renewed, redeemed, the truth finally became apparent to them all, together, and they shared it with the world. In fact, they were so passionate, so overjoyed, so confident, so different from their old selves, that many around Jerusalem believed that they were drunk a new wine. But they were not. Their hearts and their minds and their lives, their very words, were not inspired by the ephemeral effects of alcohol, but by the eternal Spirit of God. And their words communicated the truth. Not just to some, but to all God's children. If God had confused human languages at the Tower of Babel as a punishment for sin, dividing human beings and placing them at odds with one another, now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples' words crossed the boundaries of languages and cultures. They truly communicated the truth of the gospel, uniting people of all nations and all languages into one community. In communion with God. This is what we long for, isn't it? This is what we have been promised, isn't it? Yet this is what seems so far away and so impossible. But it's not. We stand right here, right now, on the threshold of true and fundamental change in ourselves and the world. We cannot bring it about, however. No matter how long we worry over words, trying to find just the right ones and put them in just the right order, because it is God's doing. We can only wait and hope.
and make ourselves ready to welcome the Spirit when it comes to renew, to redeem, to reconcile, and reveal the truth that God has not and God will not abandon us to sin and death and lies. God's Spirit once again will descend like wind and fire, setting us and the whole world ablaze with the Word of God. And then our sons and our daughters will prophesy, and our young men will dream dreams, and our old men shall see visions. And there shall be wonders in the heavens above and on the earth below. May it be soon. Amen.